It's another one. I got that juice, juice. New AP. She got that juice, juice. She got that squeeze. She got that wet, wet. I'm on them skis. I got that drip, drip. I'm overseas. D-R-I.
So I just watched Giannis go up against the Sixers tonight. And he gave you a light 40. You know, 13 rebounds, 6 assists. And he blocked Joel Embiid to win the game. You know, the guy who most people say is over Giannis in the MVP rankings. Folks, it wasn't too long ago where I had a segment where I said that old school mindsets for, you know, sports opinions are dull. You know, they should be extinct. Anyone that says, you know, Giannis wouldn't work in, you know, back then in the 80s basketball, he wouldn't start in those leagues. Ridiculous. Anyone that says, you know, the game back then is better than the game is now, ridiculous. But I think we need an old school mindset when it comes to Giannis. Giannis's game is, I don't know why people say this, I completely disagree with it, but people will say Giannis's game is not flashy. You know, he can't shoot very well, even though he's not a terrible shooter. You know, when he's, I think it should get to the point now with Giannis where if he's open for a three, you gotta at least respect him. So, yeah, again, Giannis's game to some people isn't flashy. I think it's very flashy. I think it's very fun to watch. Giannis's game is not flashy. He works down low. You know, he plays solid, sturdy, best defender in the NBA. Great defense. And then, you know, the way he scores on offense, he just takes you to the bucket and he'll get fouled and get his points at the free throw line, or he'll give you a nice, cool dunk. But he can't shoot. That's what's holding people back. It's time to get back to the old school mindsets of, you know, evaluating players. Folks, Giannis is the best player in the NBA, and I really don't know if it's close at this point. Kevin Durant, I used to think was very close to him, but Kevin Durant is not giving you what Giannis gives you on the defensive end. And I think Kevin Durant is a perfectly fine defender. What Giannis can do, he can guard 1 through 5, and it's almost like it is a mismatch. Any person Giannis guards, it is almost always a mismatch in his favor. If he's guarding a point guard, granted he doesn't do this a lot, but if he's guarding a point guard, he can get broken off of in an isolation play, yet he still has the length to contest a three-pointer. He can be 6 feet away from a person. A point guard could break him off 6 feet away, and he'd still be able to block their shot. And then when you get to the four, and then so if he, that's what he's happened if he's on a guard, and then if he's on a forward, no one can back down Giannis. And his length, his wingspan, you cannot shoot over Giannis. Which is why I've never understood why Giannis isn't guarding Kevin Durant a lot more, especially in the series last year. Because the way Kevin Durant scores on you, he gets to the elbow, he gets to his spot, and he pulls up for three, and you literally can't block him because he's 7 feet tall and has, you know, handles the ball like a guard. But Giannis is a little different than that. Giannis is just as athletic as Kevin Durant, and he can block any. I feel like he could block any Kevin Durant pull-up jumper because he's just that tall, and he's athletic enough to stay with him on any move he makes. We're not talking about last year. We're talking about now. So when you compare Giannis and Kevin Durant, or guys like Giannis and even LeBron, who people still think is the best player in the NBA, or Joel Embiid or Jokic, none of those guys bring to a team to what Giannis brings to them, like what Giannis brings to the Milwaukee Bucks. He literally can do anything you need him to do. On the basketball court. He will give you 40. He scores easily at will. Giannis can pass. In transition, he has great vision. And anytime someone doubles him, he always finds the right man. And he always finds the open guy. Giannis is a monster on the boards. He's so aggressive on the glass, and it's not, and it's really, really scary for any post player that's going up against him. And then on defense, one of the best rim protectors in the NBA, maybe the best rim protector in the NBA. And then guarding the perimeter, his length, it's so hard for anyone to get by him. Why are we still thinking that our best players in the NBA have to be able to shoot like Steph Curry? You don't have to do that. I don't care if you can't shoot if you're giving me 40 every night like Giannis is doing. And then even if you're shooting, a lot of guys in the NBA that can shoot threes way better than Giannis are not giving you even close to what he's giving you on the defensive end. And then Giannis, people were like, oh, playoff success. He just, anybody that says Giannis, they can't trust him in the playoffs, should, all you have to do is show them highlights of last year's NBA Finals. He dropped 50 points. 50 in a game six. He averaged 30 in the playoffs last year. He beat Kevin Durant in a game seven at the Barclays Center, in a game where Kevin Durant was just a one-man show. Giannis outdueled him and beat him. Whether you are going to kick and scream about who was out, it was Durant versus Giannis, and Giannis won. And then against the Suns, just three game-changing, like season-defining moments. The Valley-oop in Game 5 that I feel like ended the series right there. When the Bucks won that Game 5 on the Valley-oop, I was just like, man, there's no way this team is losing in Pfizer the next day. Or the next game. The block on DeAndre Ayton. Just again, the elite rim protecting ability and the sheer athleticism and size of Giannis that allows him to make plays like that, and then the 50-point game. What more does Giannis have to prove to show you that he is at least should be in everyone's mind? When you think of the best player in the NBA, Giannis should be the first person that comes to mind. I think it's not even close, but I do respect Kevin Durant, and I think Kevin Durant is the greatest basketball player I've ever watched. And I respect the hell out of his game. And I think he's the most efficient scorer. I think the way he scores, he's the greatest scorer in NBA history. But man, I mean, Giannis somehow, after getting a 50-point game to win an NBA Finals, after basically ending a narrative that he's not clutch in the playoffs, what more does he have to prove? He is somehow still underrated after winning two MVPs, an NBA Finals, a Finals MVP, and is maybe on his way to a third MVP and a second NBA Finals this year. Who knows? Giannis is somehow underrated, and I do not understand. He is the best player in the NBA, and I'm not sure it's particularly close at this point. So it's draft time. One of my favorite off-season thing to talk about in sports is the NFL draft. Last year, I got way into it. Like, those quarterbacks, evaluating those quarterbacks was so fun. And this year, obviously not a quarterback-heavy draft, but it doesn't mean that they're not fun to talk about. I mean, it's not a bad thing that you have to decide I don't want to say best of the worst, but like an average quarterback class. But there's a lot of options to choose from. Who's the best one? So I'll probably have a segment about that next week, maybe this week, I'm not sure. But I'm going to focus on the Packers here. So, as we all know, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have a lot to throw to this year. He's, especially when you look at deep threats, the Packers have none. Alan Lazard probably runs a high 4.5, probably 4.6 40, maybe even 4.7. I'm giving him way too much credit with 4.5. Randall Cobb is literally on the team to be reliable, and that's fine. Don't mind it. Amari Rodgers sucks. Robert Tonyan's coming off an ACL injury, and he's not a guy that's going to dominate. And dominate a passing offense. The Mercedes Lewis, no need to even mention that. He's literally just our blocking guy, and I hope that, you know, we eventually find a replacement for him, because he's not getting any younger. If we go down the line, Aaron Jones, you know, he'll be split out wide a lot. Don't mind that, but he's not a deep threat. And then A.J. Dillon. So, looking at the Packers offense, we need offensive weapons. Aaron, and I'm just going to say it. The Packers are going to draft a wide receiver I hope in the first round. But if they get one in the second round, I'm not just going to kick and scream. But good God, if they blue ball me again this year by not drafting a receiver when we really need one, I'm going to freak out. We literally lost the best receiver in football. We have no one, and we're probably not going to get one in free agency because that's just not how the Packers roll. We are going to draft a wide receiver, and it's very exciting. And there's some names that, you know, people have thrown out there. There's Chris Olave. You know, he is the household name amongst Packer Twitter. He had a blazing 40. It was unofficial 4.26, but it was around like a high 4.3. Doesn't matter. He can run. He was great at Ohio State, had an illustrious career at Ohio State. C.J. Stroud and Justin Fields' favorite target when they were both playing. Jahan Dotson, he's a burner out of Penn State. I really like him, although you could get him early second round if you maybe traded up in the second round. But the guy that everyone likes, that is Christian Watson out of NDSU. This guy has it all, ladies and gentlemen. He is athletic as hell. He ran a mid 4.3 40. He is 6'5". He was a returner in college. He has return experience. We all know the Packers are always looking for good returners. And great hands. Very aggressive on the catch. Fine after the catch. I love Christian Watson. And we could honestly get him in the second round. If we got Christian Watson in the second round and, hell, got Chris Olave in the first round, what's stopping you from... We should definitely... I know it's a little overkill to draft the same position in the first two rounds, but the Packers have draft picks, ladies and gentlemen. We have two second round picks and two first round picks. We are going to have to draft a top tier wide receiver. And someone that is going to contribute early. So my top three wide receivers that I'd really like the Packers to look at. Treylon Burks is good, but he might not make it to 22, which is where we're drafting at first, and then 28, obviously. But Treylon Burks is very aggressive, good size, good speed out of Arkansas, great player. I don't think Garrett Wilson will make it out of the top 10. Not sure. He's a good player. He's basically Chris Olave, just a little smaller, but I'd say a little more quick after the catch and better route runner. But another guy that I really like, Jaquan Brisker. Jaquan Brisker is a guy that can play safety and middle linebacker. And honestly, we have to remember that Adrian Amos is not going to be around forever. And Darnell Savage will be up for contract next year, up for a new contract next year. You could fifth-year option him. But I think Adrian Amos is going to be up for a new contract after this year, I believe. Maybe. I don't know. I don't pay attention to the contracts as much. But, yes, we got Devondre Campbell back, but we still need depth at the linebacker position. And getting a guy like Jaquan Brisker, Devondre Campbell is reliable when it comes to the middle of the field and the run game. But as a pass coverage guy, he could be a little better. That's what Jaquan Brisker, I think, is for. Jaquan Brisker can cover, I think, any running back, any tight end, and hell, even some wide receivers. He's very fast. He's an athletic freak. And when I saw him play against Wisconsin this year, he dominated. I think he had a pick and, you know, a lot of tackles. He was great. So Jaquan Brisker is another guy I like. And then, speaking of, remember when I was talking about, you know, finding Mercedes Lewis replacement? This guy that I see on Twitter and, you know, I've looked into, Jelani Woods out of Virginia. This guy has Mercedes Lewis size, Mercedes Lewis blocking ability. Not the greatest pass catcher, but this is a guy that we could get in the late third round, and he would most likely contribute this year. could contribute this year, but next year, if Mercedes Lewis retires, he's just going to replace him. So in a not really, you know, tight end heavy draft, that's a guy you could get late that, you know, you're not expecting to be a true pass catcher, because if Robert Tonyan comes back from that ACL injury and plays like Robert Tonyan a little better, then we got our tight end for the future. This is the Robert Tonyan prove it year. So you got a guy like Jelani Woods to replace Mercedes Lewis. Mercedes Lewis is such a big part of what the Packers do in the run game. So to have a guy like Jelani Woods, just to have a Mercedes Lewis 2.0, but younger, I mean, fuck it. Goody, draft him. That's got to be a guy you're looking at. So, in conclusion, those are names that I'd like the Packers to, you know, I'd like to hear come draft night. Christian Watson, obviously Chris Olave. Treylon Burks would be nice if he drops. Jaquan Brisker, Jahan Dotson, and Jelani Woods. Also, obviously, this is wishful thinking, but we could trade up for Jordan Davis. You know, there's Kenny Clark needs some help in the interior. If you draft Jordan Davis, we don't have to see Dean Lowry and Tyler Lancaster, two guys that are just the epitome of average. And that front with Preston Smith, Rashawn Gary, Kenny Clark, and Jordan Davis, that would be special. But you got to trade up for Jordan Davis too. And you're probably going to have to give up one of those first round picks. So, and that would mean that we'd have to be stuck with a second round receiver that may not be as surefire as a first round receiver, unless it's Christian Watson. Then I'm okay with it. So yeah, those are my ideal draft picks for the Packers. Just had to make a little segment about that. I will probably do my top five QB prospects in a little bit. Maybe today, maybe in this episode, but also possibly next week. I'm probably going to rank the five out of Desmond Ridder, Matt Corral, Sam Howell, Kenny Pickett, and Malik Wills. If I can rank those five, I think we're set. So that'll be a good segment. Well, it's that time of year, folks. It is time to do my top five quarterbacks in this year's NFL draft. It's an interesting one this year. There's not a quarterback that we would consider to be like the number one guy. You know, like there's no Trevor Lawrence, there's no Kyler Murray. There's not a guy where you'd say, all right, there's the number one pick, let's move on. Because there's not even going to be a number one pick quarterback this year. It's going to be Aiden Hutchinson going number one. So, that's not bad. That's nothing wrong with that. Let's just make a list right now. Now, this list is going to be very dry. There's a lot more highlights and film that I need to watch of all these players. You know, I didn't watch a whole lot of Malik Willis in when he played for Liberty last year. And I didn't watch a whole lot of Desmond Ridder because I didn't watch a lot of Cincinnati. But I did watch Sam Howell, Matt Corral, and Kenny Pickett a decent amount. So I will rank these five quarterbacks. Now, the five quarterbacks I'm ranking are Sam Howell, Desmond Ridder, Matt Corral, Malik Willis, and Kenny Pickett. So I'm going to start from 5-1. Number five, I think, is Sam Howell. There's a lot of question marks about Sam Howell. When I look at quarterbacks and quarterbacks coming out of the draft, coming out of college, I look at size, their production in college, decision-making, arm talent, and their ceiling. And Sam Howell, I'd say, out of all those five, there's a few question marks coming about him. So his size, he's 6'1", 220. Now, size is not the biggest deal because, you know, short quarterbacks are becoming a little bit more the norm nowadays, so it's not a big deal. But he's 6'1", 220, not the biggest guy. Production in college, it was kind of the same this year. In fact, it dripped down, you know, from his freshman year, which was fantastic. And then ever since then, it's just getting lower and lower and lower, because after his sophomore year, people were saying Sam Howell could potentially go in last year's draft. He could have gone maybe after Trevor Lawrence, but he obviously was a sophomore at the time. But now Sam Howell comes out his junior year, the guy that people thought could potentially win the Heisman this year, and a guy that people thought could be the number one pick. His stock has since fallen. And, you know, North Carolina had a very disappointing year this year. They were ranked in the top 10 and just continue to fall and lose people's expectations in them. So, yeah, this year, 3,000 yards, 24 touchdowns, 9 picks. That compared to his previous years, in which he got 3,500 yards each year and 30 touchdowns and 7 picks. His decision making has always been pretty good. I wouldn't say he makes any bad mistakes, but I'd say the biggest red flag about him is the production part. UNC, it's not like they lost talent. They were going to be ranked. They were ranked in the top 10 this year, and they just did not live up to those expectations. And some of that lies in the quarterback. So that's why I have Sam Howell number 5. Desmond Ridder, I have at number 4. When it came to him and Sam Howell, I think Sam Howell has the better arm than Desmond Ridder. But I cannot forget the fact that Desmond Ridder took Cincinnati to the playoff this year, and that was very impressive. And also, Desmond Ridder gives you a lot on the ground, a little bit more than Sam Howell does. He's a big body. He's going to be tough to tackle in the NFL. And he started all 4 years in college and continued to put up nice numbers every single year. I think the one thing about Desmond Ridder that people, maybe scouts are maybe a little bit afraid of is, does he have an NFL arm? Can he make tight window throws? Playing in the American Conference, never really had to do that, especially when his talent was head and shoulders above everyone else's. So that's why I have Desmond Ridder at 4. But I think Desmond Ridder could be a nice player in the NFL. He'll be drafted in probably late first round, maybe early second. Who knows? But I think the size and the athleticism is there. He's just got, you know, some questions about the arm. Now, this is, to me, these are the pretty clear top three. Now, it's very hard to evaluate these guys because I think Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis, and Matt Corral are the top three. But they all got their own red flags. Matt Corral, I think, is number 3, but I also think he might have the best arm in the draft. Matt Corral made some terrific, terrific plays for Ole Miss this year. The guy was just an absolute warrior. He played in Lane Kiffin's offense, which I think scouts are going to love. You know, he's got experience with an NFL head coach, a guy that's been around for a very long time, a very famous, well-known name. He started 2 years for Ole Miss and, you know, had some pretty decent numbers. He was, what, 7th in the Heisman voting this year. I like Matt Corral's arm. The only question I have about him is the size, and he had that injury in the bowl game. But what I like about him is that he played in the bowl game. The guy just wants to flat out win, and he loves competition. And he's also got pretty good legs. He had some nice runs for Ole Miss this year. He's got good pocket presence, good feet, and he's got a really good arm. But I think that his ceiling is a little less than this guy's, Malik Willis. Now, yes, Malik Willis played for Liberty. And yes, he, in the, you know, the games, in the biggest games, in the games that were televised, he played pretty bad against Pittsburgh, did not have a great game. So, not Pittsburgh, Ole Miss, my bad. But anyways, I think that out of all the quarterbacks in the draft, I think Malik Willis has the highest ceiling. He's a not the tallest guy, but he's got a really thick body, and I think he'll be able to take a bunch of hits in the NFL. And another thing that I really like about Malik Willis is he's a dual threat, but he's a dual threat along with a really, really NFL-ready arm. And I think that's what scouts are going to love about him. See, when Lamar Jackson was coming out of college, people knew how athletic he was. People knew that he was an NFL athlete. They just didn't know if he had this, you know, the arm strength and the arm talent and the accuracy to be able to win some games in the NFL. Obviously, he proved them wrong, but Malik Willis has a better arm than Lamar Jackson coming out of college by far. So I think, you know, you saw it on his pro day, the guy can throw it 70 yards on the fly easily. And when you combine that NFL arm with some of the best, with just premier athleticism and great pocket presence, that's what I think scouts are loving about Malik Willis and why some may have him as the best quarterback in the draft. Unfortunately, playing for Liberty, the guy threw some picks in college, and really no other way to slice it. The guy has some, you know, decision-making issues that need to be fixed, because in the modern-day NFL, quarterbacks are throwing less and less picks. And, you know, he played for Liberty, wasn't really playing NFL, you know, good competition, and when he did, he had some of his worst games, like Ole Miss and Louisiana. So I think that Malik Willis in terms of his ceiling, is the biggest, but I also think that, you know, there's he may have to sit for a little bit and, you know, learn from a veteran QB, maybe play after, and then play after a year. But I think Malik Willis has a bright future. I just think he'll need to sit. I don't know if he's ready to play. And then lastly, number one, I think the best quarterback in the draft in the class is Kenny Pickett. I really like Kenny Pickett mostly because out of all the things that I evaluate in a quarterback, he is just really solid in every single one of those facets. Size, he's 6'3", 220. Production, this year he had the best numbers out of any quarterback in the draft by far. 4,300 yards, 42 touchdowns, 7 picks. He played for Pitt and had them ranked for most of the season. And he also played in the bowl game and had a great game. He had the fake slide. I think Kenny Pickett's really fun to watch, and I think he's got a good solid arm for the NFL, and he's probably the most pro ready out of all the quarterbacks. Because, you know, he's a guy that doesn't make a lot of mistakes and threw for a lot of yards and a lot of touchdowns in college. No other, that's kind of the easiest way you can evaluate Kenny Pickett. He's got good production and did not play with a great roster and still was able to produce big numbers. So I think Kenny Pickett is number one on my board and a lot of scouts' boards. He's a pro-ready quarterback. He's got great pocket presence. And I think he has really, really good NFL ability. And I think I see a lot of, I think I've seen, from what I've seen from him, he's got decent athleticism. And I think he's a guy that can, again, take a lot of hits in the NFL if he's playing for, you know, a team like the Steelers, a team that's a little bit interested in Kenny Pickett from what I've heard. Not a great O-line, but I think he'll be ready to take those hits because he's tough and because he's tough. That's exactly it. So, Kenny Pickett is my number one. Again, when I look at all these quarterbacks and I evaluate them on production, size, ceiling, decision making, and just their overall arm talent, I'd say Kenny Pickett is a 7 out of 10 in all those facets, and I cannot say that for all the other quarterbacks. So there's my list. Sam Howell, Desmond Ridder, Matt Corral, Malik Willis, Kenny Pickett. Those are my top five. I think I'll have to watch a little bit more film and highlights on all five of these guys, but I think it's an interesting draft class, QB draft class. But it'll be fun to watch, and again, at least one of these guys is going to hit. Every year, there's always one, so we just got to figure out who that is. And that'll do it for the juice, and by the way, it's official. It'll be announced either today or tomorrow. I'm officially joining Imagine Sports Network. We have 10 or so guys, we have 11 or so guys in the movement. Hopefully, I can have some of those guys on my podcast with me, and maybe I can be on their podcast, but it'll be introduced in the near. I'll be getting introduced on Imagine Sports Network very soon, and I'm very excited. I think this is going to be a great movement and a great opportunity for me and for all of us to get our names out there. And if we're all, you know, working together, I think we can do some great things. So that'll do it for the juice. Madden Sports, go check it out. Jack Cote, if you've seen him on TikTok, he's the guy. Cote. All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Thirsty, trying to choose. I mean, I know I'm critical. My neti bag, my kitty boots. I got the juice, I got the juice.
Geno, Chatham's on. Foolie's glad I'm on. Even my haters kinda glad I'm on. Rest in peace to my